right, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me just say hey to everybody and give everybody a big shout out and a thank you. Broke the all-time, smashed, obliterated the all-time church online record yesterday, online attendance, what I call online attendance or viewership record yesterday. I think the old record was 742. Yeah. I think it was 829 yesterday. Yeah. was the brand new high. So thank you for everybody for watching yesterday at church. Hope you liked, and I posted on Twitter too, Aaron leading worship, a song called I Surrender. But anyway, thank you guys, everybody who joined us at Foundation Church on Sunday. Again, you know, Trump is great. Things are great in America. It's great to be an American. But Trump's not Jesus, and you have to have a savior. All right, let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Charlie340 is on. C-Stuff's on. Judy Anita's on. Gritterdom is on. Ab Seeks Truth is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Praise Holler's on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Confederate 1 is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Clean Slutsky McGroin is on. McGroin Nation's on. Black Horse is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. Hassle Free TV's on. Confederate 1 is on. Mike Griffith's on. DC941 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Those Jesus People is on. Let me see here. Lady Vu's on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Michelle Tall is on. Dave Souders is on. D9597 is on. Ab Seeks Truth is on. I already said that one. Skeeter Davis is on. Skeeter Davis is on. All right. Ferrison 77 is on. Sixlin is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. John Phillips is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Whammy Jammer is on. Let me see here. Veronica 18201 is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Let me see. Volvo 960 is on. Luis Emmanuel Ruiz is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Todd Suff is on. Let me see here. Going down, scrolling. Wisconsin Honey Badger is on. Hands Like Donovan is on. Neon Widow is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. The one and only Salty Gonads is on. Keeper 1376 right at the bottom is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right to it here. New York Post tweet. It's unbelievable. Considering all this alleged controversy, you have the judge stopping trying to stop the flights into Venezuela, returning gang members. Imagine this again. This is why Trump's approval ratings are so high. It's going to be a short little show tonight. I already predicted to the guys. Just letting you know. This is why Trump's approval ratings are so high. Because if you are a Democrat right now, what you are in favor of is judges stopping the flights of Tren de Agua members back to Venezuela. What is Tren de Agua? It's Aragua, so hopefully I'll say it right. But anyway, what is this gang? Well, I mean, where did it originate? It actually originated in Venezuelan prisons. And what Maduro said was, if you will agree to go to the United States, we will release you from prison. By the way, that's exactly what happened. That's not right-wing hyperbolic conspiracy theory. That's exactly what happened. Maduro says, you know what? If you will agree to leave the country and immigrate to the United States of America, we'll let you loose out of prison. And you have to be a Democrat. If you're a Democrat right now, you have to be on the side. Because what caused this stoppage of flights, well, the attempt to stop the flights, was an ACLU lawsuit is what caused the stoppage of flights. The attempt to stoppage of flights. So you have, in order to be a Democrat right now, you want to have Venezuela, and this is a prison gang. This is not a gang that was on the streets of Venezuela. This is a gang that originated in their federal prison system. And Maduro allowed them to exit prison, pardon them from their crimes, if they immigrated to the United States of America. And to be a Democrat right now, you have to be in favor of them staying. Gee, I wonder why Trump ties, New York Post, Trump ties for his highest approval he's ever had, as more Americans say U.S. is on the right track, than any time in 20 freaking years. In 20 years, not since Bush, not since George W. Bush, as anybody thought, this counts all 8 years of Hussein, all four years of Trump and Biden before. Trump has reached the highest, not only his highest polls, but the highest poll in 20 years. Because in order to be a Democrat right now, you have to be in favor of Trende Aragua. Oh, we're not in favor of them. We just, no, yes, you are. Why would you ever allow a foreign, again, these are not people that could even have been normal citizens in Venezuela. They were gang members out of their federal prison system. And in order to be a Democrat, you have to be in favor of keeping in the United States of America members of a gang that originated in the Venezuelan prison system, which has got to be the worst of the worst anyway. Because in order to go to prison in Venezuela, you really have to have committed a lot of crime. All right, let's go to the next one. Just some what Trump is up to. Aaron, see if you can blow that up for him. Blow it up for everybody as big as you can. All right, it's a long, long Donald J. Trump. True social post. To all the Houthi terrorists, is perfect right there. Today, I've ordered the United States military to launch decisive. I think that's the wrong one. Is this the right one? It should say to all Houthi terrorists is what it should be starting off with. Today, we have ordered. Has that got anything to do with the Houthis in there?
Yeah, we just, when we zoomed it in, the top part says to all Houthi terrorists.
Is it really? The graphic. Got it. Yeah. All right. Today, I've ordered the United States military to launch decisive and powerful military action against the Houthi terrorists, which are funded out of Iran. We have basically, just under the Biden administration, not, of course, Trump administration, been losing a war to the Houthis. They'd be like, no, Tom, that's not possible. United States military versus the Houthis? We've basically been losing. Biden has allowed us another little mini war that he's allowed us to be involved in, and we're actually losing, just like we're losing all the other military conflicts around the world. So Trump has decided to end this, and I'm all in favor of it, because the Houthis have been targeting United States naval vessels and United States installations with absolutely no reprisals from the Biden administration. So now Trump is having to come in once again. Now, this will be totally different than any Democratic Party war. If you did with a Democratic Party war or a rhino war like George W. Bush, where you're afraid to blow up mosques where the terrorists are actually hiding, then the wars are extenuated for years and years and years and even decades long, i.e. Iraq and Afghanistan. But not under Trump. Remember, Trump absolutely crushed ISIS in a month. Just like what's happened with the border? What's happened with the border crisis? Again, why he has the highest approval ratings in 20 years. What's happened to the border? 3 days, totally shut down. In 3 days, Donald Trump shut down 93% of illegal crossings at the southern border. So he's ordered these military strikes against the Houthis, against the Houthi terrorists in Yemen. They have waged an unrelenting campaign of piracy, violence, and terrorism against American and other ships, aircraft, and drone. Joe Biden's response was pathetically weak, of course. So the unrestrained Houthis, because he's actually in favor of the Houthis killing our military. So the unrestrained Houthis just kept going. It has been over years since a U.S. flagged commercial ship safely sailed a year. Joe Biden, for an entire year, disabled us, the United States merchant marines, or I mean, not just merchant marines, but merchant vessels to actually travel safely. Houthis kept going. It has been over a year since a U.S. flagged commercial ship safely sailed through the Suez Canal, the Red Sea, or the Gulf of Aden. The last American warship to go through the Red Sea 4 months ago was attacked by the Houthis over a dozen times. Funded by Iran, the Houthi thugs have fired missiles at U.S. aircraft. Biden did nothing about it. And targeted our troops and allies. Biden did nothing about it. Those relentless assaults have cost the U.S. and world economy. Now, we send billions and billions and billions and billions, up to $350 billion to Ukraine. But when our own troops are attacked, we do spend no money on it and don't respond at all if you're the Bidens or the Biden administration. The relentless assaults have cost the U.S. and the world economy many billions of dollars, while at the same time putting innocent lives at risk. All right, go to the next one for me. So here, ISIS leader terminated. Today, the fugitive leader of ISIS in Iraq, two different things. He was relentlessly hunted down by our intrepid warfighters. His miserable life his miserable life was terminated, along with another member of ISIS, in coordination with the Iraqi government and the Kurdish regional government, peace through strength. That's right. So here it is right here. Go to the next one for me. You can just side by side it, guys, whenever you can. U.S. Central Command video. CENTCOM forces kill ISIS chief of global operations. If I keep talking, guys, just roll back to the beginning. Who also served as ISIS number two. On March 13th, U.S. Central Command Forces, in cooperation with the Iraqi Intelligence and Security Forces, conducted a precision airstrike in Al Anbar province, Iraq, that killed the global ISIS number two leader, chief of global operations, and the delegated committee emir, Abdullah Maki Masla al-Rafai, alias Abdul Kadahaf, and one other ISIS operative. As the emir of ISIS, most senior decision-making body, Abdul Kadahaf maintained responsibility for operations, logistics, and planning conducted by ISIS globally, and directs a significant portion of finance for the group's global operations. So he is now terminated. He's done. Just go right to the next one for me, guys. You can side by side it. This is video footage. It's a Jack video, and it's video footage of us just letting you know that it's actually happening. That's okay. Actually happening. Here are our jets being launched. These are the ones that are actually going out to attack the Houthi positions right here. It's happening. This is what you do. What did Biden do? Absolutely nothing. Biden did absolutely nothing. You had the 10-7 attack. Biden does absolutely nothing. You have the Houthis who used that as inspiration and started attacking us basically right after 10-7. Biden does nothing. In order to be a Democrat, you have to be absolutely fine with, you have to be in favor of United States military installations being attacked and not responding at all. That's what it means to be a Democrat now. And that's why they are plummeting. I mean, they might be the end of the Democratic Party. It could be. I mean, what kind of palatable position do they have? What kind of tenable position do they have? What is it? What's their position? Tell me why Joe Biden didn't do this a year ago. A year and a half ago. Why didn't? Because the Houthis started attacking us a year ago. Why didn't Joe? I mean, I'm talking about attacking us. I'm not talking about us instigating four wars. I'm not talking about color revolutions. I'm talking about a foreign-funded, Iran-funded terrorist organization, the Houthis, directly attacking American military vessels and not allowing our merchant vessels to traverse freely through various waterways like the Suez Canal. What does Biden do? Nothing. So in order to be a Democrat, you have to be all in favor of a Slavic war that has nothing to do with us, the Ukraine-Russian war. And when American military installations and American military ships and even our merchant ships get attacked or hindered from travel via attack, you do absolutely nothing. That's the Democratic Party position. Let's go to the next one. Just jumping and just totally change the subjects. I have to show you this. It's hysterical. That's exactly what Aaron said. We did the download earlier. Aaron gave a good. So here it is. This is actually, you and I paid for this to be done. The man who was wrong about AIDS. He was wrong about the bird flu, wrong about COVID, wrong about masking, wrong about vaccine, wrong about social distancing, wrong about lockdowns, wrong about quarantines. Wrong about double masking, wrong about N95s, wrong about the effectiveness of the vaccination, calling it safe and effective when it's incredibly unsafe and ineffective, so you get the double whammy. Shut down the economy and then claim that he didn't. This guy actually has a mural painted to him. Jason Miller. A mural of Anthony Fauci was meant to inspire staff. The NIH took it down, the Washington Post. So just so you know, we paid for it. But at least it's down now from a nonstop 60-year, six-decade in office, so to speak, 6 decades as one of the most expensive of most highly paid bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. He retired with a pension of over $400,000 a year. And of course, but the great part about it, one of the great things that Trump did was remove his Secret Service protection. But anyway, so his mural is now down. So the six decade long government failures, and of course, because you fail up, you get a mural if you fail, not if you succeed. So at least now the mural is down. All right, let's go to the next one. Citizen Free Press. You can actually side by side this one too. Citizen Free Press. The moment the hatch opened at the International Space Station, and Elon Musk saves NASA again. There it is. There goes Elon Musk. Now again, let's just reiterate the story, although all of you know it ad nauseum. These people were all supposed to be rescued in September. But Biden wouldn't allow them to be rescued in September because if he did, it might affect the presidential election in favor of Donald Trump, since Elon Musk had come out in favor of Trump at that time. And the only spacecraft that can you imagine this? And we played this the other night, that Elon Musk, even his booster rockets land back on Earth and then land themselves on a tripod. NASA is still landing, like the craft that stranded all these people up here at the ISS, International Space Station. The craft that stranded them, of course, I'm trying to remember who built that. Boeing built it. Mm-hmm. Boeing built it via NASA. And it's still, when it stranded them up there, they couldn't fly back on it, but it could somehow fly itself back. So it flew itself back. And then it actually had to land with little parachutes. To this day, Elon Musk is landing his own booster rockets. Not even the spacecraft itself. The spacecraft itself. He actually lands the rockets that propel the spacecraft up in the air. And then those rockets come down and land like on a tripod. Or they grab them in those you know, whatever you call those units they have. And then the only spacecraft that can actually, so the spacecraft that's stranded of them can't go back up. So the only craft that can actually rescue these people comes from Elon Musk. And to be a Democrat, Tom, Tom, you need to let it go. I'm not going to let it go right now until it's got to like run its course. To be a Democrat right now, you have to be in favor of a man and a woman, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, that said, you know what, we're not going to rescue these people because it wouldn't be politically advantageous to do so. And just left them there. They're supposed to be there for 8 days. They've been there for 9 months. And they could have rescued them in September. So September, October, November, December, January, February, and half of March. So let's just round it down. 7 months later. 7 months. Because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris didn't think it would be politically expedient for them to allow Elon Musk to go up there because he offered to do it in September. And they turned him down. So these people are stranded up there. And to be a Democrat, you have to be in favor of things like that, which a lot of them are, because they're perfectly willing to put people in prison for the rest of their life that for crimes that they didn't commit and crimes that don't exist at all. All right, let's go to the next one. Russell Brand video. Here's Donald Trump being hit in the face with a microphone. And then we're going to discuss who actually did it. Play for me.
You're concerned about the situation in Gaza. What are the hopes now to get the hostages back?
She just became a big story tonight, right?
Yes, sir.
Did you see that? What?
Again, in a long, long half decade now of firsts, of 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve. Another thing I've never seen before in my life is the president of the United States actually hit in the face with a boom mic. And as Aaron said, and many said online, that could have had anything on it, could have anthrax on it or anything else. So, and Trump did the right thing. He didn't even go to the next question. He's like, that's going to be a huge story. And he gave her the stink eye. Aaron, just side by side that for me. Here's the woman right here that actually is the one that was holding the boom mic. Now that looks like marriage material, doesn't it?
If you're gay.
If you're a lesbian or a very effeminate man who likes to be dominated by women in all capacities, you know, I'll leave it at that. But anyway.
True.
Likes to have you're a guy who likes to have those reverse days. But anyway, I'll leave it at that. What?
And it ends in Y?
Yeah, yes. Those days. So you have a wife like this. So anyway, this woman is Danielle Kurtzelbahn, something like that. Kurtzelbahn, something like that. But here she is. Actually, now she, with all acclaim, NPR will claim. And by the way, who pays for NPR? Brent does, Aaron does, I do, and the 911 people that are watching right now that I could see, and all of you that are watching on CTN. We pay for this woman to hit Donald J. Trump in the face with a boom mic. So who is this woman? Listen to her talk about how she feels about Donald Trump. Play for me.
In Michigan, Trump will speak about crime in Howell. It's a town of about 10,000. Ahead of that, his campaign emphasized, in contrast to what VP Harris has said in the past, Trump wants to, quote, overfund the police. Trump's campaign has not yet responded to NPR's questions about why they chose Howell. Howell has historic links to the Ku Klux Klan and was the site of a white supremacist demonstration last month. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News, Detroit, Michigan.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
So once again, the same sort of Madison Square Garden rhetoric, you get it from the woman who hit Donald Trump in the face with a boom mic, because at one time they had a white supremacist rally at Madison Square Garden, and Donald Trump is showing up at a town that at one time had a KKK rally. Remember Donald Trump just roasting? Well, it was Donald Trump. Yeah, it was Donald. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Donald Trump. Yeah, it was. Donald Trump said, you know, about Madison Square Garden. Didn't the Democrats just have an event there? And I'm guaranteed Democrats had an event at whatever city this is. But this shows you who this woman is. And we're all supposed to believe that she just accidentally hit him in the face. A Trump hater is the first one in the history. Tom Leipi's history of watching politics. I'll put it to you that way. The first reporter I've ever seen hit the president of the United States in the face with a boom mic. And that specific boom mic where they got that kind of like fluffy sort of cover on that mic, that could be, like Aaron said, carrying anything. And she just shoved it into the face of the most powerful man on the planet. Yeah. Unbelievable. Go to the next one for me. All right, Donald J. Trump, Truth Post again. The pardons that Sleepy Joe gave to the unselect committee of political thugs and many others are hereby declared void, vacant, and of no further force or effect. You're like, how can anybody do that? Well, if they can do it, why can't we? Turnabout's fair play. You've opened Pandora's box. If you're a Democrat, if you want to create laws, again, Donald Trump's 34 felony convictions, I don't have time to get into it, or it'll be 15 minutes straight of me ranting about it. But the crimes that he's been committed of don't even exist, are out of the jurisdiction of the people prosecuting him, and he's not guilty of any of them anyway, because they're crimes that don't exist, so how can he be guilty of a crime that doesn't exist? So if he can do that, then he can just say that anything that was auto-penned is void. Well, there's no press. It doesn't matter. You're allowed to do whatever you want. You're the president of the United States. That's what Biden did. That's what Kamala Harris did. That's what Alvin Bragg did. That's what Letitia James did. That's what Matthew Colangelo did. That's what Fannie Willis did. Nathan Wade did. That's what they all did. That's what Merrick Garland did. That's what Lisa Monaco did. So, you know, and enjoy it, guys. And we'll let it, just like Democrats say, we'll let it play out in court. And you can now spend $500,000 defending yourself. You can spend $5, $10 million defending yourself of your own money, because it's really fun. It's really fun to prosecute people when you're the government, when you're the federal government, and all you have to do is print more money. It doesn't matter. It's monopoly money. You can spend as much as you want, and you have trillions at your disposal. And just say you're even a rich person like Joe Biden is worth tens of millions of dollars, and you have to now defend yourself out of your own money. You get to see that dwindle down, and you go bankrupt like General Flynn did. Bankrupt like Alex Jones did. Now you can enjoy it. You know, for me, it's fool around and find out. F-A-F-O. Fool around and find out. Void, vacant, and of no further force or effect, because the fact that they were done by AutoPen, in other words, Joe Biden did not sign them, but more importantly, did not know anything about them. And here's the thing, it's fair, just leave this up for me. Here's the thing, it's very important. There's some argument that can be made about, and this is all I'm going to play. I think that's the next one. It's the next one. Mm-hmm. Hussein Obama's the one who started all this. What a shock, isn't it, that he's the one who initiated the whole auto-pen way of doing things? But here's the thing. If you, like, sign in a law or some sort of policy or some bill via auto-pen, it can be argued in court that that's valid, but not pardons. Pardons, it specifically says, the law specifically says that the president has to sign them in person for a pardon. In other words, Joe Biden did not sign them, but more importantly, he didn't know what he was signing. The necessary, as with his meeting with Mike Johnson, via the liquefied natural, the LNG gas, he had no idea. Joe Biden had no idea that he had banned the exportation of LNG. No idea. So that one was signed too. The necessary pardoning documents were not explained to or approved by Biden. He knew nothing about them, and the people that did may have committed a crime. Therefore, those on the unselect committee, get ready, Kinzinger, get ready. Get ready now. And all the rest of you that are on the board, who destroyed and deleted all evidence obtained during their two-year witch hunt of me and many other, get ready, Liz Cheney, and many other innocent people should fully understand that they are subject to investigation at the highest level. The fact is, they were probably responsible for the documents that were signed on their behalf without the knowledge or consent of the worst president in the history of our country, crooked Joe Biden. All you had to do was get him to Antony Blinken, because Antony Blinken, who, again, an effeminate male in a position of authority, was running the country, and all you have to do is auto-pen him now. So, do we really honestly believe that Joe Biden had any understanding of what was going on with the unselect J6 committee? That was called a select committee, but it wasn't a select committee because we weren't allowed to select our members. Remember that? Which would then make all of their subpoenas and all of their investigations null and void, which would make the prosecution and the conviction of Navarro and Bannon null and void, because you're not allowed to even issue their initial subpoenas without being a select committee. The subpoenas that Bannon and Navarro blew off that got them charged with obstruction. So who exactly instituted all this? MJ Truth video. I am 100% certain this is not coincidence. Obama was the first president to use AutoPen. Play for me.
Going on today, and here are two things we thought you should know. President Obama made history by authorizing the first use of the AutoPen signature to sign an extension of the Patriot Act while he was in Europe. Now, the AutoPen is basically a mechanical pen. Congressman Tom Graves, a Republican from Georgia, is asking the president to confirm that he saw the bill before giving the go-ahead for the AutoPen. Reports say the White House planned to fly that bill to the president, but it would have reached him after the midnight deadline. And
so, of course, it was actually instituted by Hussein. Don't you trust that with your life, with your country right here? That's the machine that anybody can use. That anybody, I mean, you put somebody like Aaron in the room who's like crazy and likes to look at like instruction manuals. Aaron will be able to assign anybody in the world. It's like he can just create songs using AI now. Song he wants to create, create it. And you and I are like, how'd that work? How does that work? I don't know. He can do it. But you put someone like him in the room, Brent's good at tech. You put either one of these two guys sitting to my right in the room, they'll have to be able to run that thing. And they'll be signing a perfect Tom Lipley in about 10 minutes. Yeah. Signing my bank account over to themselves in 10 minutes. But anyway, so I mean, that's what was signing the pardons for Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney and Bernie Thompson and the rest of the J6 Unselect Committee. All right, let's go to the border. This is the big weekend show, the most dangerous, violent gang that we have known. Griff Jenkins details the invasion of America, an actual invasion, because Donald Trump is using the 1798 statute to remove, basically using war powers, the invasion powers, to remove Tren de Agua and other criminal aliens from this country. And they're all criminal aliens, but I mean the subsequent criminal aliens who commit violent crimes after their initial felony for entering the country illegally. But here is this is the details of the invasion of America by the deadly Tren de Aragua gang. Play for me.
President Trump is invoking the Alien Enemies Act because of, he says, an invasion of this gang that did not exist prior to 2022. Just in 3 years, 18 states. So from Venezuela, you've had them come here to this state, to this state. You start looking at the arrows of the gang literally coming to half of the country. And then you start looking at these lines on the board. Does that begin to look like an invasion to you? The most dangerous, violent gang that we have known in modern times hitting half of the country. And that's just what we know of. Now, let me just take you to this. What's different about TDA 2 is that they're harder to capture because with MS-13, you know, Lisa, we've all seen MS-13 tattooed on their neck. They tell us as soon as they cross the border. They have more difficult tattoos. Guns, you've got a train because Tren de Aragua stands for train from Aragua. That's the Aragua Venezuela state in a crown in a star. So tougher to detect them. Now, let me take you to this guy. This is Hector Guerrero. He is the founder of Tren de Aragua. He started it in a prison that we can show you, Tocaron Prison in the Aragua state. He was sent there for murdering an officer. He's since been escaped, but he was running for a couple of years all operations of kidnapping, sex trafficking, murders out of that prison. Some say that he is in Colombia. Others say that the Maduro regime is protecting him, still living in Venezuela. We simply don't know, but that's where it all started. And as you've seen, 18 states and counting where it.
So that's why Trump is able to use the 1798 invasion statute to immediately remove from this country. And again, to be a Democrat, you have to be in favor of Tren de Aragua staying here. There, you actually have Democrats like Chris Murphy, like AOC, Ayanna Pressley on TV right now, arguing to keep Tren de Aragua here because they're so offended by Trump using basically a War Powers Act to remove them. Because, oh, this was a 200-year-old law. Who cares? If it's an invasion, you don't have to jump through all the hoops to deport them. Why do we even have deportation hoops to begin with? If you're here illegal, why do we not have the right to just simply deport anybody anytime? I will never understand that. Honestly, we'll never get that. But since that's not the way that it is right now, Trump is just hop, skipping, and jumping right around it using the 1798 statute. Does that not look like an invasion to you? Does to me? Doesn't for you? How about you, Aaron?
Yeah.
How about you, Brent?
Yep.
That looks like an invasion. So because it's an invasion trial, Trump can simply remove them, and Democrats are fighting it. They want the rapists to stay. They want the murderers and the armed robbers and the home invaders to stay from a Venezuelan prison to stay. So here's where, I'm not necessarily saying these, every one of these prisoners, but a lot of them are going here. Unbelievable. Okay, everybody knows the president of El Salvador, Bukele. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce his first name. I'm saying maybe Nayib.
I think it's Nayib.
Nayib Bukele. And then, by the way, I love this guy. I mean, I didn't want to fall in love with Elon, but I did. Okay, I did. I am. Elon can break my heart now. I kind of kept him at arm's length for a long time. But this guy, Bukele, man, I love this guy. And he carries sort of a spiritual anointing on him. I don't know where his stance is with Jesus, but I mean, he carries like an anointing when he speaks. I mean, he has his powerful speaker, and he carries like a Holy Ghost anointing on him. So he's either saved or everybody's gifted and called, but he carries a gifting to speak. But Bukele video. Today, the first 238 members of the Venezuelan criminal organization, Tren de Aragua, here's where they're going to get to spend the rest of their lives, arrived in our country. So Donald Trump has worked out an international deal with Bukele of El Salvador to put these prisoners in the worst prison in the world. I mean, wait till you see it. Play it for me. And that's the thing. You can tell when they came into the prison, they have all their old, you can just side by side that. And I can just play it while I'm talking, guys. Because that's Bukele at soccer game. Just so you know, he is internationally loved by the right. By the right. That's his own country right there. So that's his prison. By the way, that is the terrorism confinement center where they will be for the first year And as he states in his Twitter, on his Twitter post, renewable. So they're going to be, they're going to be there. And then they can be transparent. And they're, by the way, that's just one of the prisons. You should see the prison system in El Salvador, which now we have an international agreement to send our terrorists, which is Trendyagua, who has been designated as an international terrorist organization and who has invaded our country. And now you got 238 of them arriving with this killer. And then they had all their beards on because the American prison system is so lenient. They have their beards, their long hair, immediately removed by this guy right here because he's not messing around because he had to retake his country from basically these prison gangs, from roving gangs, MS-13, mainly in El Salvador. He had to take his country back, and he didn't give it back. You saw, there's like, how many cops are there? There's like, they bring in 238 guys and various buses. There had to be 1,500 cops there.
Oh, yeah.
With helicopters flying overhead. This guy's not messing around. It's over. And that's, that's how they should be treating people. And again, Democrats came out and said, these are people being treated like this. Oh, really? If they raped your mother, would you be calling them a person? Because that's who these people are. Rapists, killers, torturers, sex traffickers, child sex traffickers. If they child sex trafficked your daughter, would suddenly you'd be on there saying, well, these are people. That is humane. That's humane. They're not being killed. That's humane. They're not being tortured. They get to sit in a prison cell for the rest of their life. And eventually what they get to do too is benefit all of us by working in factories for the rest of their lives. They get little benefits doing that, but they also get to sit in a prison cell stacked on top of each other for the rest of their life. That's what you get for murdering and raping people. That's what happens. That's how it should happen. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, Dapper Detective video. Pro Trende Aragua, D.C. Obama judge, James Boasberg, wants more police officers shot by now foreign terrorist organization. Here's one for you. Here's Trende Aragua versus our police, and he ends up shooting two cops, and all Democrats want this guy to stay. They're going to all argue for this guy to stay. Play it for me.
Give me your hands. Just clench his back. Give me your hands.
Yeah, I was afraid there might be a profanity on there. But anyway, he ends up shooting two cops right there. And maybe I'll play it at the end when we have to watch the profanity. But anyway, so that's him shooting two cops. Now, this is Trende Aragua shooting two NYPD cops, shooting them both. And the your Democratic Party position is that you want them to stay. That's the Democratic Party position, is that you want them to stay. Imagine that. Imagine that being basically your party platform, is that you want these people to stay. But it is. That's why Trump has the highest approval rating of any president in 20 years, is because the Democratic Party position is, I want this guy to stay right here. All right, let's go to the next one. Pick from the New York Times. Breaking news. Judge orders halt on deportation of Venezuelans under wartime law. They want them to stay. Democrats want them to stay. The federal judge, who is an ardent Democratic Party supporter, said the Trump administration must halt. You can imagine this now. This is simply a federal judge. The Supreme Court doesn't have this power. Nobody has this power. Nobody has the power to control the executive branch except for the executive himself, the man in the picture. And that is just the way that it's been. When we are in the minority, we're not necessarily the minority, but when we don't own the Oval Office, when the Republican Party doesn't own the presidency, are we doing this? No, because we know we don't have the power. But again, if the Democrats are ever in the Oval Office again, if there's ever a Democrat elected to be president again, we're going to do the exact same thing now. Just like we're already doing in a lot of ways. We're doing the patented Democratic Party formula. Let's just try it and see what happens. We might as well. A federal judge said the Trump administration must halt use of an obscure wartime law from 1798 to deport Venezuelans. The judge also ordered, get this, a judge sitting, and again, this is an effeminate guy. I've seen a picture of him. The judge ordered the Trump administration to return any planes. So this guy, he's out there in the sky. Ordering the President of the United States to turn around flights that are halfway to El Salvador or Venezuela. In return to any planes that have departed the U.S. with immigrants under the directive. So again, to be a Democrat, that's what you have to be in favor of. Go to the next one for me. Mark Caputo tweet. Exclusive, the White House says it ignored a court order to turn around two plane loads of accused Venezuelan gang members because the flights were over international waters. That doesn't, Tom, that shouldn't leave this up. That shouldn't apply. We're trying it. Let's try it. That's what Democrats do. Donald Trump is a 34-time convicted felon for a crime that doesn't commit, for a crime that doesn't exist, that he didn't commit, even if it did exist. So let's try it. They call him a 34-time convicted felon. They wanted him on Rikers Island. Let's try it. Does an executive order? By the way, what they're also saying here is that the judge gave a verbal order in the hearing, but it's not an official order until he signs it. That's another argument that Trump attorneys are also espousing. So they're trying it. You know what? Why not? What's the worst thing that could happen? I'll show you in a second. Exclusive, the White House says it ignored a court order to turn around two plane loads of court order to turn the president, court ordering the president of the United States to turn around planes. And imagine again being in favor of this. You're actually, as the ACLU, you are going in and arguing to have, but again, it lines up perfectly with the Biden administration. You're going in to argue, to turn around rapists and murderers and child sex traffickers and bring them back into the United States. That's what you're doing as a Democrat. That's what you're now in favor of, which is why Trump has the highest approval rating in 20 years. Two plane loads of accused Venezuelan gang members because the flights were over international waters and therefore the ruling didn't apply. This is headed to the Supreme Court. We'll see. Go to the next one for me. Pick from the Associated Press, breaking the Trump administration has transferred hundreds of immigrants to El Salvador, even as judge blocked the deportations under an 18th century wartime declaration. Go right to the next one for me from the Washington Examiner. Biden, though, they're all talking about how dare Trump defy this order. Biden bragged about it. Washington Examiner, look at the date. This is just roughly a year and a couple months ago. Biden brags about defying Supreme Court. And this isn't even the Supreme Court. This is a federal judge. A probably Obama-nominated judge. Obama-appointed judge, which I believe he is. Mm-hmm. So we're ignoring his orders that were given in the middle of a hearing. And the flights had already been taken, had already taken off and were over international waters. And they should be blanketly ignored anyway. But Biden bragged about ignoring a Supreme Court order that had nothing to do, it had no fluidity involved. This had to do with paying off student loan debt, which can be reversed at any time. And he bragged about it. Relieving 136 million student loan debts. He bragged about it. So just showing Democrats have no problem with this. Then why? Okay, leave this up. Imagine this, that as a Democrat, you have absolutely no problem with Joe Biden blowing off the Supreme Court to waste all of our money on kids who have humanities degrees in gay studies, and we're paying off all of their college debt. You have absolutely no problem with that. You're good with that. But you will argue to stop the deportation of child sex traffickers, rapists, and murderers in Trente, Aragua, who illegally entered this country and committed multiple crimes once they were in this country, including, that's Aurora, Colorado, where they're taking over apartment complexes using AK-47s. Remember the news anchor, Martha Raddatz? Remember her? She's talking to J.D. Vance? Well, it's only a couple condominium complexes. He's like, a couple? That's okay with you? Do you hear yourself? You're okay with it being a couple apartment complexes in Aurora, Colorado, taken over by an illegal gang that has invaded this country out of the prison system in Venezuela? Imagine being a Democrat right now and having to come up with some sort of platform. All right, let's go to the next one. Newt Gingrich tweet. Those upset by the emerging dictatorship of district court justices behaving as though they were president should read the Judiciary Act of 1802. Oh, it's old, Aaron. It's out.
Oh.
No, it's still in place. Sorry. Yeah. You don't like something that's in place? Get rid of it.
Yeah.
1798 laws, still in place. 1802, still in place. As Tom Holman said in the pregame, is the Constitution still in place? That's over 200 years old. All right, Jefferson and his party completely revised the court system and abolished a series of Federalist judges by judges they deemed to be illegitimate. A warning to the current out-of-control judiciary. That's exactly right. Leave us up for just a second. That's what's happening right now. We have like Eli Crane and others that are going after these judges. That's what's that's exactly what has to happen. You're going to be an unlawful judge. Listen, who appoints these judges? The legislative branch. Now, to be impeached, it's going to have to go through the Senate, where we hold a narrow majority. We're going to have to depend on, oh my God, I just threw up my mouth, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. But you know what? Impeach them anyway. Get them on the record as impeached, because the impeachment, it's not a conviction, because people have he was impeached as if that means anything. No, that means you're charged with a crime. You know, it's not really even a crime, but you know what I mean. It's high crimes and misdemeanors, but not really a crime. So you can impeach them, but now they are just like the twice impeached President Donald Trump. He was basically accused of two things, which of course he didn't do. But you can get these guys on the record as impeached judges, and that's exactly what needs to happen. All right, go to the next one for me. Nick Sartor tweet. Holy crap, Trump is refusing to allow activist judges to undermine his power as president. So the DOJ slammed the hammer down on the judge, this is from today, on the judge attempting to block deportations of Tren de Aragua. Let me get that. What's that judge's name? I want to make sure. There it is. All right. The judge is James Bosberg. Slam the hammer down on James Bosberg for attempting to block deportations of Tren de Aragua. He wakes up in the morning, just like Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom's wife wakes up in the morning. And they think, how many breasts, penises, and testicles can we lop off today? How many criminal penalties can we lower for child sex rapists? I mean, how can we do that? I mean, how many can we lower the penalties on those who sodomize 14-year-olds? That's what Gavin Newsom and his wife wakes up to. That's what they're fervent about. That's what they're passionate about. You might be passionate about what you do for a living and your wife and your kids and your church and Jesus. They're passionate about lopping off penises, testicles, and breasts and keeping Tren de Aragua murderers, robbers, sex traffickers, drug dealers in the country, rapists in the country. That's what they're actually excited about. So Trump is dropping the hammer, Trump's DOJ, Pam Bondi, down on the judge attempting to block deportations of Tren de Aragua. Plaintiffs cannot use the plaintiff, what he's talking about here, plaintiffs is the ACLU suing Donald Trump to keep Tren de Aragua in the country. That's what the ACLU has reduced themselves to. Plaintiffs cannot use these proceedings to interfere with President. This is the DOJ's response to the lawsuit, which they're trying to get the judge to drop, the appeals judge to drop. So plaintiffs, according to Pam Bondi, cannot use these proceedings to interfere with the president's national security and foreign affairs authority, and the court lacks jurisdiction to do so. Of course it does. How does a federal judge have jurisdiction over the president of the United States? The court should vacate the hearing and de-escalate the grave incursions on executive branch authority that have already arisen. Here's the court document right here that they filed. I'm not going to read it all to you. It basically says that what's underneath there is basically what I just read to you with a little bit more. So screenshot it if you want a little bit more detail on it. But basically what they're saying is you don't have jurisdiction to do this at all. You don't have the jurisdiction at all to demand or order the president, a federal judge ordering the president of the United States to turn around three flights on their way to Venezuela? I don't think so. But here's one of the, I've named like the biggest name right now that's orchestrating a lot of the judge shopping, judicial resistance to Donald Trump is Norm Eisen. Now here's the guy during the first Trump administration. This was Mueller's pitbull, another very effeminate man who wants to rule the world because in order for him to actually rule the world, he has to defang the people that would actually resist him. He knows that. The Trumps of the world, the people that he's been jealous of his whole life because he's an effeminate man. He does not like masculine men. And if you listen to him talk, I'd be shocked if he's married to a woman. But anyway, Alex Video, Andrew Weissman, this, of course, is Mueller's pit bull. the guy who orchestrated the 24 months of the Mueller investigation, $41 million spent, 42 FBI agents being his personal investigators. How did that ever work? And I know that was even, that was under the Trump administration. Donald Trump should have immediately fired. That's what he would now. He would never allow Mueller to even take office. But anyway, so Alex Video, Andrew Weissman says it would be a doomsday scenario if President Trump ignored the court order. Play it for me.
Here's the question for you, Andrew. At what point does the Trump administration, in your view, and are we already on this slippery slope, begin to ignore the rulings of judges in these matters that his White House is deeming that he has superiority by virtue of being the chief executive of the country?
Well, there's very disturbing reporting in the New York Times just this morning suggesting, not concluding, but suggesting that that may in fact have happened. And that Judge Boasberg, the trial court judge who issued this temporary restraining order and said, you can't remove people. And he also said, to the extent that their plane's in the air, they need to come back. You cannot remove people because I'm finding that this is improper. It's unclear at this point whether, in fact, that order was complied with. The doomsday scenario for this country is the idea that you would just ignore a court order. At that point, there is no rule of law in this country. Yeah. You're a law of the jungle. So that's a thing to keep an eye on as to whether that, in fact, happened here.
But he had absolutely no problem with Joe Biden ignoring the SCOTUS rule. No problem at all ignoring those rules. As well as, aren't sanctuary cities a 24/7, 365 ignoring a federal law? And of course, court precedent and judges' rulings in and of themselves? But Andrew Weissman has no problem with that. Another effeminate man. Aaron, put yourself on. Let's talk about him for just a second. Aaron was doing some digging. All right, first of all, go ahead. Hit where, Yale University and all that stuff.
Yeah, so Boasberg attended Yale, where he was a member of the undergraduate society Skull and Bones.
Yeah, just like
just
the Bushes.
Just like the Bushes, yeah. Right. And then,
just like the Bushes, yeah.
Since we were talking about Weissman, right. In 2002, George W. Bush appointed Weissman to be the deputy director and then director of the Federal Bureau of Investigations Enron Task Force.
Right, and all the Enron rulings were, of course, reversed, and they lost. But anyway, so here you have, this is just like Raffensperger meeting with Mark Elias 8 months before the 2020 election. Why would a conservative Republican, twice elected Secretary of State of the state of Georgia, meeting with Mark Elias of Perkins Coie, who has an FBI office in their DC office? That's weird, isn't it? Why would he do that? I mean, Mark Elias is the most leftist Nazi, lying sack of worthless human crap on the planet. From Perkins Coie, but he meets with the Secretary of State eight, nine months before the election to make it impossible to adjudicate ballots in the night election, in the election where you most needed to be able to adjudicate them on the night of, because it was a mass, for the first time in history, the mass mail-in COVID election, right? That's kind of weird. And then why would a conservative like George W. Bush nominate Andrew Weissman to any position? A man who allegedly has the exact opposite views in every scenario, in every category than George W. Bush, because George W. Bush is a fraud who doesn't actually hold the views that he publicly espouses. So he very easily nominates the people who believe exactly like he does, believe what he does, not what he says. They're the ones who actually believe what he believes. So go to the next one for me. Ryan Fournier tweet kind of sums it all up, my opinion, on recent court rulings regarding illegal immigration. This is where I stand, just so everybody knows. The courts have made, from Andrew Jackson, one of the greatest presidents, the courts have made their decision, now let them enforce it. So if you go up to Boasberg from a Skull and Cross,
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones Society.
Yeah.
Okay, he's made his ruling. Now enforce it. We're ignoring it.
Good luck.
What are you gonna do? Yeah. What's he gonna do? Is he going to get the DC court police? He's a federal court judge. He has no police department. I don't even know if they have bailiffs. I don't know what they have. He's gonna get his, like, because all the bailiffs, Brent knows this from being a cop, all the bailiffs are usually like retired cops or whatever. They're gonna go after Donald Trump. I mean, what are they? There is, he has no force to either stop or start his rulings. He has no ability to stop them. He has no ability to stop Donald Trump from ignoring his court orders. So again, the court has made their decision. Now let them enforce it. That's exactly what we're probably going to end up. I actually agree with Trump initially trying to follow these court orders because of the political fallout. Just like I understand, I don't agree with it, but I understand why he passed the CR, why he wanted this CR, because if he didn't pass it, it'd be a government shutdown limiting Doge. So I understand why you wanted a CR for 8 months. I get it. Don't agree with it, but I agree with what it is. And again, Donald Trump's the greatest president ever. My opinion ever. Best president we've ever had. And it doesn't mean I agree with everything he does. And nobody ever should, because he's not Jesus. If you're going to agree with something, if you're going to agree with everything somebody does, then it has to be Jesus. That's it. But I love this. The court have made their decisions. Now let them enforce it. Let them enforce their rulings. What are they going to do when Donald Trump ignores it? They don't have any police officers to send out. They have nothing. They use the DOJ. Oops, Donald Trump runs the DOJ. Exactly how are they going to enforce their rulings? They can't. They can't enforce them, so ignore them. That's basically where we're going to have to get. All right, go to the next one for me. I love this from the Babylon Bee. Federal judge appoints himself president. That's exactly where we're at. That's what they're doing. Federal judges, these little effeminate men who are being funded by NGOs are appointing themselves as president. I mean, we've never seen it before. Listen, we've battled the Democrats in court before, but we've never used a federal judge to stop executive orders of the president of the United States or any sort of initiative from the president of the United States ever. It's never happened. All right, go to the next one for me. Lives a TikTok tweet. As the crossings plummet, so is the fentanyl coming into our country. So again, if you're a Democrat, you want the crossings not to plummet, which means you want the fentanyl to continue at its Biden levels, Biden administration levels. That's what you want. That's what you're running on right now. And again, how did the border crossings plummet without without comprehensive border reform and without a bipartisan border bill? How in the world did that happen? I mean, Donald Trump said pre-election, you don't need a border bill. You just need to close the border. And we showed the stats the other day where you're going from thousands a day to like 22 a day. As border crossings plummet, so is the fentanyl coming into our country. New CBP data shows the amount of fentanyl seized at the U.S.-Mexico border fell to its lowest level since December of 2021 under the Biden administration. So we're now lower than the levels at the Biden administration, at the start of the Biden administration. And eventually, they'll be non-existent at all. It'll be absolutely non-existent. All right, let's go to the next one. Kat, here a little bit here on the FBI. I love stuff on the FBI. It's a little lengthy. I'm going to read you her article on this. I'll read it fast. But Catherine Herridge, breaking an internal FBI inclusivity. There you know it's already over. Why would you have a federal Bureau of Investigation, a federal law enforcement agency concerned with inclusivity? Why would you have the military? Why would you have the military concerned with it? You shouldn't. An internal FBI has nothing to do with law enforcement, has nothing to do with killing people and breaking things in the military. That's it. So it doesn't involve lethality. It has nothing to do with the military. If it doesn't have anything to do with enforcing laws, it has nothing to do with law enforcement, law enforcement agency, federal one or local one. An internal FBI inclusivity guide. The FBI, look at, you see that at the bottom? Look at that. That was actually put out by our federal government. That booklet down there was actually put out. Called the Inclusivity Guide, obtained by our team, counseled agents on ways to manage your unconscious bias, micro inequities, and how to improve your inclusive intelligence. The new IQ, your guide to sustaining inclusive habits. You and I were paying for this at the FBI. This is what our tax dollars go to, not our homeless vets. Here's the thing. I don't believe in socialized medicine, but for people who cannot afford medical care, then that's where the government should come in. The rest of us should be getting insurance and not with, where the insurance company has to pay for every last pill and every last $120 visit. None of that. But for people who can't afford it, they should be able to get decent, good medical care. Not Oprah, if she ever has a problem, she goes to Cedar Sinai. And for poor people, they just have to go get the best they can get at some walk-in clinic and they end up dying of cancer. That should never be that way. And we could easily fix all of that. Not socialized medicine, but I'm talking about a safety net, which is what government's all about. We don't have any of that. We have none of that. Instead, what we have is a new IQ, your guide to sustaining inclusive habits in the workplace. This is what was actually put out. I mean, it really is unbelievable. The new IQ, your guide to sustaining a Catherine Herridge article, one of the few good reporters out there, to sustaining inclusive habits in the workplace was shared in mid-2020 and includes 9 tips to counter unconscious bias. That's how they sneak it in, too. Of course, this was under Christopher Wray. It may have still been under, let's see, Christopher Wray by 2020. It may have still been Comey. So, no. It was Christopher Wray. Separately, as part of our investigation, recently retired FBI agents said they saw firsthand how law enforcement capabilities were compromised because merit took a backseat to DEI priorities. They dubbed the legendary FBI Quantico Training Academy, the FBI agents said this. They dubbed the legendary FBI Quantico Training Academy, the Participation Academy, because of headquarters pressure to push through poorly performing candidates to meet DEI objectives. The retired agent said FBI Director Patel inherits a workforce where standards dropped, impacting physical fitness of agents, their firearm skills, as well as professional qualifications, putting the FBI mission and safety at risk. Deep dive, more than a half dozen recently retired FBI agents agreed to speak with me on a confidential basis. They said they feared retaliation for describing their experiences with the FBI's DEI initiatives while fiercely loyal to the Bureau. They said they felt compelled to come forward, citing a dangerous reduction in standards. The group of retired agents was diverse. It included male, female, Asian, black and white agents from field offices in different parts of the country. Their work experience covered a multitude of facets of the recruitment and training process. Everyone we spoke with offered a firsthand account of DEI's impact. The retired agents told me they value diversity because it could strengthen the FBI, but in recent years, FBI leadership took the attitude the Bureau was too white, quote, too white. We were told that the physical fitness performance of candidates declined. The requirements include timed sit-ups, 1 minute, timed 300-meter sprint, untimed push-up maximum, and timed 1.5-mile run. The retired agents described recruits who had an attitude problem. The recruits would quit the long-distance run or claim injuries if they thought they would not pass the requirement. The number of successfully completed push-ups was routinely low because many recruits didn't have the skill or strength to follow the required protocol. But I always told you, Aaron knows this, the FBI sucks.
Yeah,
that's why they suck. They never win a shootout. They lose every time because they have a bunch of unskilled morons who can't do 10 push-ups. Didn't have the skill or the strength to follow required protocol. What we learned about firearms training was also concerning. We were told some recruits lacked the mental toughness to competently handle weapons.
What?
Yeah, feel free to chime in, guys. Seriously, what? I mean. Okay, so you are a law, and Brent knows this. He was a cop too for many years. Imagine you are charged with securing crime scenes, keeping people safe, shooting if necessary, but you don't have the mental toughness to, quote, competently handle weapons. What does that even mean? That the gun itself scares you?
Soft.
I mean, man, yeah, I mean, you don't have the mental toughness to competently handle. It didn't even say shoot somebody. It just says handle the weapon. Other candidates had documented mental health issues. That's kind of important. You know what? You really do want somebody with schizophrenia on the FBI. That's what you want. While their performance was poor, there was a push them through Quantico attitude. The backbone of FBI investigations is a witness interview summary known as the 302. That's where they jammed up Michael Flynn by changing the 302s. In some cases, new agents lacked basic writing skills to complete a witness statement. It's kind of a problem, wouldn't you think, Brent? If you're a cop, we can't complete your own probable cause affidavit, witness statement, or anything else. Got to have a problem.
And
this is the FBI, where you have to have a 4-year degree, by the way. You have to have a 4-year degree. You have the 4-year degree and 4 years of some sort of social service to even qualify to be in the FBI. And so these people, they had a 4-year degree, and a lot of them are lawyers, a lot of them are social workers, whatever, and they can't write a 302, which is, this is what I saw. You can't do that? This is what I heard. You can't write that down? This is the current state of the FBI. This is why Cash Patel's got a big job, and a lot of people need to be freaking fired. Competitive, like these, like the people who lacked the mental toughness to competently handle weapons, fired. Can't write a 302. What is it? Somebody knows the 302. In some cases, new agents lack basic writing skills, fired. In part because work experience and requirements had been relaxed. Once poor performing recruits were pushed through Quantico, the hope was that the FBI field offices would fix them. Oh yeah, if you fail the most rudimentary things, the advanced training will fix you.
True.
So that's like saying, it's like saying this, you can't do CPR, but we're going to promote you to neurosurgeon. Yeah. And hope that advanced training will enable you to be able to actually perform CPR. These retired FBI agents are solution-oriented and respectfully asked if Director Patel would be willing to meet with them because they understand where the change needs to happen internally. Describing how woke broke the FBI, one of the agents shared the wrenching personal decision to discourage their child from following in their professional footsteps. In response to our questions, FBI spokesman Ben Williamson said Director Patel's new FBI will be an entirely mission-focused institution. Let me show you this story go to the next one for me, Brent, that Laura Loomer broke. For the record, the blanket pardon that Joe Biden allegedly signed for his son via AutoPen only covers, I said it was going to be a short show. I was actually predicting 10:03. Didn't pan out. Aaron actually said, I'll wager you money that, I didn't take that bet. Only covers crimes Hunter committed from January 1st to 2014 under December until December 1st, 2024. That means, which by the way, these presumptive pardons are also unlawful and have never existed. Really, if you go back, you can say that Ford did one for Nixon, but other than that, they don't exist. That means it doesn't include protection from alleged perjury committed after December 1st, 2024. 18 U.S.C. 1621 condemns perjury with respect to any person in federal law given under oath or penalty of perjury. Did Hunter Biden commit perjury on 3/5/25 when he signed a declaration to the federal court under oath in Los Angeles in which he said he was broke, but he's just traveled to South Africa? That's your broke. That's not a cheap trip. How is he affording a luxury long-term family vacation with his wife, Melissa Cohen, his son, and a 12, and now it's up to, it's actually been found out that it was 18 agent Secret Service detail per day. They go in 8-hour shifts, obviously 24 hours, 6 men per shift for Hunter Biden. And by the way, we all know that from the pregame, that's been canceled. Donald Trump has canceled it. So hopefully they'll fly. Hopefully they don't even stay with him in South Africa. Just fly home. Per day at an oceanside villa, but he says he's broke under oath, in the most expensive neighborhood in Cape Town, South Africa. There needs to be an investigation, and Hunter should be jailed if he's found guilty of perjury. Just flip to the next pic for me. So I just wanted to show you. That's him. Laura Loomer has absolutely 100% verified that the man in the black shirt next to Hunter is a Secret Service agent. Go to the next one for me. And there they are once again. And there's numerous pictures of these two together. And that is his Secret Service protection. Go to the next one for me. Here it is. Hunter Biden has had Secret Service protection for an extended period of time, according to Donald J. Trump. All paid for by the United States taxpayer. There are as many as 18 people on this detail, which is ridiculous. He is currently vacationing, of all places, South Africa, where the human rights of people has been strenuously questioned. Because of this, South Africa has been taken off our list of countries receiving economic and financial assistance. Please be advised that, effective immediately, Hunter Biden will no longer receive Secret Service protection. Likewise, Ashley Biden, that's gone too, who has 13... Ashley, that's who showered with her dad. Likewise, Ashley Biden, who has 13 agents, will be taken off the list. You and I are paying. And again, each one of those guys makes well over $100,000 a year, and you and I are paying for all of that. Go, Aaron.
I was going to say, it's crazy to me that they continued to have Secret Service protection because of the fact that they're adult children. Like
they're not supposed to.
Yeah,
that's the whole
exactly.
thing.
Yeah.
And again, this is why, hopefully, with the new people in charge, new people in charge of the Secret Service, all of this will be found out and all this waste. Again, the Secret Service needs to be doged. It needs to be doged. We need to find out all these people like Fauci, like Ash. Why does Ashley Biden have Secret Service protection, let alone Hunter? Let him pay for his own. He can sell more of his paintings and pay for his own security. Elon Musk does. Elon Musk, as I was listening to it today, I don't know how many people he has on his Secret Service team. It's a lot, and each one gets $1 million a year.
Whoa.
So he gets 20 guys, so he pays out $20 or $30 million a year for his own. And these guys are all like retired SEAL Team 6 guys. He actually lured one out of the military, so I'll pay you $10 million to be on my – that's what you do.
Yeah.
If you're Hunter Biden, if you looted all these foreign countries and made the big guy tens of millions of dollars, you pay for your own security. It's like Fauci. Fauci made $14 million during COVID alone. He paid for his own security. Thank you very much. All right, 10-20, that's good. I got so much more stuff. But anyway – all right, Rumble Rants tonight. Nate Dad, $50. Thank you so much. 509, 25 McDonald's, $6. Ferrison, 77, $5. Thank you guys so much. Love and appreciate each and every one of you. Love and appreciate all you guys in the chat. Listen, you've got to listen. I'm telling you right now, you've got to stick around for the post game. It's one of the best post games ever. It's 30 or 40 seconds from the moment that I sign off. All right, so it's not, you know, like a little church commercial, little commercial for my wife's podcast. And that's it. I mean, a little 30 or 40 seconds from right now. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.